Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hey everybody, Zach Matchett here, filling in for Steve Arterburn. Welcome to New Life Live. We're so glad that you guys are joining us today, wherever you're listening from, or watching from, or podcasting from, all the things. We're so glad that you are with us today. I am being joined today by Dr. Alice Benton.
Howdy,
hi, Alice.
Zach. Hey, folks.
Good to see you. And Becky Brown. Hi, Becky.
Hi, Zach. Hi, Alice.
Hey, Beck.
Hi, everybody.
We're back again. We were with you guys a couple of days ago, and I mentioned on the opener that I was I'm moving into my 18th year of doing ministry with teenagers, with students, as a student pastor. And I read this article recently, and there's probably a lot of directions we could go with it, but I'm going to kind of share some of the findings because there's one specific question I want to ask. I want to get your guys' input on. So they did this study or kind of some research, and quantitatively, here's what they said. 67% of parents of preteens, this was at an article at churchleaders.com. So if you, maybe we could put the article in the show notes afterwards, but you could probably find it on Google. 67% of parents of preteens say they have and are teaching a biblical worldview. So two-thirds of people, parent figures more generically, raising children, grandchildren, whoever, 67% of them say, of Christians say, they are raising their kids with a biblical worldview. But the article went on to say that only 2% actually are. So 67% believe they are, but when they drill right down into it, only 2% actually are. Here's my question for you ladies, from the seat that you guys sit in as in the therapy and counseling world. How can this disconnect be so drastic of, sure we are, of course we are. Then a few follow-up questions later, it's like, nope, not actually doing it at all. Like, how are we as human beings, I mean, yes, it's easy to say we're fallen people, we're sinful creatures. Like, it's, yes. But practically speaking, why the divide? Why the obliviousness? Even something like this as important as parenting and raising children.
It's kind of the same thing as eat right and exercise and be healthy. It's this land of denial we like to live in. And so it's a good idea. And actually, as you were reading those statistics, Zach, I was thinking, who were they polling? Because if that if the evidence were 67%, you probably wouldn't have much long to work, would you, Zach? Because, you know, it would all be taken care of at home. But, you know, urge people to pay attention to what they're doing in the home.
Yes. Absolutely. Alice, what'd you throw in?
Well, as a recovering liar, I would be inclined to lie if I were surveyed. Yeah, I do. I do exactly what I'm supposed to do, because I want to look better than what I'm actually doing in my own home. And so a lot of us are pulled to that. And then when we compare a human standard to God's standard, God says how often we should talk about the scripture. When we get up, when we go down to bed, when we're on the road, when we're together at home, we should be talking about it very frequently. But many of us think, well, if I just take my kids to church, or if I send them to a school that talks about Christianity, if I send them to a Bible study, then maybe that's sufficient. But we need so much repetition of God's way to really integrate it that the human standard is vastly different from what God asks of us.
Do you know, Alice, that reminds me of something I heard on a sermon that said, I can barely remember what I ate last week, and yet I'm, you know, I think I don't have to read scripture every day.
Oh,
and I
think that
was such a great analogy because it is a daily practice. We are shaped by that introduction every day of the word and by practicing the word too.
Absolutely. And this isn't my attempt to, you know, behind the mic of a radio program to dunk on Parents Day. You know, that's not what I'm trying to do at all. What I am saying is what you guys just articulated, which is sometimes we are oblivious to what we think we're doing the most, and we're actually not. And when you get down into it, it's like, what practices are we putting in place to help raise our kids in the right way? What practical steps are we doing? Are we doing this in community? Who's there to say, actually, you're not as much as you are? And so it just shows the disconnect sometimes. And so, again, I thought it was helpful. We're going to be right back after this breaks down the line if you're calling in. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks again for joining us today. We're so glad that you're here on New Life Live. Zach Matchett filling in for Steve Arterburn, Dr. Alice Benton, and Becky Brown were here. I was just reading some research I saw recently about parents that believe they're raising their kids, preteens in this specific instance, with the biblical worldview, raising their kids in the faith. And 67% believe they are. Only 2% are actually doing it. We just were sharing, sometimes the biggest disconnect can be happening right in front of our face, and yet we don't even notice it ourselves. And it just really reassures us that we need to do life together with people in community. And, we've got this event coming up, and Becky, I would love for you to speak into this a bit. There's a women's event coming up where I think people, if they're struggling, can find some community, find some shared struggles with people, and just be able to process all these things and maybe start that journey of really getting the help that they need. And so this Lumen event's coming up. Becky, why don't you go ahead and share about that?
Yeah, you bring up a good point that we do need practices. We need rhythms that will encourage us in our spiritual walk. And as women, it can be powerful to spend time with other women who are like-minded, believers in Christ, but also learning about the Word and how it affects us every day. Lumina is just that place where you can go. And we're going to meet at the Museum of the Bible, and we're going to have other speakers like Jen Wilkins and Lauren Green McAfee, as well as singer and speaker Nicole C. Mullen. It's going to make an imprint on your life as you are wanting to walk in the ways of Christ, but the Word is part of that, and I think community and just that experience of making a road trip and going together with your friends and just seeing what God has for you. And we want to encourage everybody to sign up as soon as you can, because if you do sign up before Friday or today, at the end of the day, every ticket will receive a copy of the 1-year Bible that was edited by Misty Arterburn, and it's going to encourage you in this desire to be more like Christ and to grow in your faith. And so I just want to encourage all you women out there, get a few friends, call us, register, and get to Washington, D.C. It could make all the difference in the world.
That's great. If you want more details on that, they can visit newlife.com for more information. And so what a great next step for maybe those of you listening that need to kind of take those steps and find some other women to share life with and to get connected. That's awesome. We're going to get to our first call. And so let's go to Sue. Sue is listening to us in Pennsylvania. Hi, Sue. Welcome to New Life Live. How can we help you today?
Hi. Thank you so much. I so appreciate you guys. So I've been out of a long marriage for a couple of years now. I'm going through the divorce process, but we have grandchildren, and two of our girls have kids, and the one daughter lives in New York with a few of three of our grandkids. And so when they would see Pop-Pop, it was like he was the fun Pop-Pop, funny, fun. But there's, other underlying issues that they're not aware of. They're young. My girls have blocked their father. They don't talk to their father. He's been hurtful verbally. He's been inappropriate physically. And so they have come to a place where they just don't talk to him. And he's not getting help. He's got, alcoholism and other issues as a result of. When I see my grandkids, I do get the question now and then, like, where's Pop-Pop and why don't we see Pop-Pop? I've heard, hey, it's not your place to have to answer that. That's up to their parents and everything. But when I'm asked point blank, I feel like I need to give them some kind of an answer. And so I just say, well, he's not well, he's getting, he needs to get better. And I leave it there.
You know, Sue, I heard somebody who had a similar situation, but it was the husband, and they were going through a divorce, and he was struggling with addiction and other things. And as her children were growing up, he was not allowed to see them for lots of safety reasons. And what she did was she said, he isn't making good choices. And the reason why she approached it that way was because when she told them initially that he was not well, that caused concern for the kids. Then they started to worry, and where is he, and when is he going to get well, and all of that kind of thing. And it depends on the age of the kids, but I think they understand, you know, make good choices, don't make bad choices, those kind of things. And then you can follow it up with something along the lines of, you know, we hope he makes good choices and hope you get to see him again, you know, and then move on. I don't know what the ages are, but that's just a different perspective.
Okay, I thank you for that. The one boy, he's 9.
Okay.
You know, so, and he asked me, and then, of course, the other one, I think, well, she's 7. So, but when I say he's just not making good choices, they may ask, well, what do you mean by that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think that you can answer in the ways that, like somebody already said to you, that, you know, it is his story to tell, but I think you have to be careful to not give them too much information. And it depends on what their moms are telling them. You know, what is mom and dad telling them?
Yeah. Alice, how would you counsel, like, the idea of, like, telling kids the truth in an age-appropriate way that's not overly ambiguous? I mean, there's a lot of factors, overly ambiguous and all these types of things, and still clear. Like, what would you say?
So my children are those ages, 9-year-old boy, 7-year-old girl. So I can understand that they're both tender, but they're also very intelligent at that age. They understand so much and they're curious. I agree with choosing with your daughters and their husbands how much to disclose. I tend to disclose a bit more to my children. So I would want them to be aware, your grandpa, he is making some poor choices. He's struggling with some alcohol use. My kids know about alcohol and drug use. I want them to be aware of it. And they know that some of my own family members struggle with it. And I might even liken it to, you know, when you have a timeout and you don't get to be having the fun and you don't get to be around people until you choose to behave better. It's kind of like that. And we're hoping that Pop-Pop will choose better. Let's pray for him right now, because he sure needs our prayers. He needs our help and our intervention.
Yeah, that's great. And I think, too, just the idea of being discerning of how to help with your own children, because there's another layer here. I mean, obviously, as the grandmother, there's a unique relationship there, but there's also this other layer of your own children are not in relationship with your former husband and their dad, and what's all that mean? It needs to be a tag team effort, I think. And I don't know if there's a resource that we can – I was thinking of How We Love Our Kids. That was one that came up to mind immediately, ladies, but maybe if you want to throw an additional resource, we can send.
No, I agree with that, because the comfort circle, which is described in the book, helps to draw out the children's thoughts and feelings so that they can then process the information of, that's scary, that's unsettling, that Pop-Pop is gone, and that maybe we don't even talk about him very much. And so to hear a child's heart, and what do you feel when you miss Pop-Pop? Will you tell me about that? And what do you feel when you hear, you know, this information that I'm sharing? Kids need to be drawn out, and it's more important really to listen to their why than to give them the information itself, although that also has its place.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I had one follow-up for you, Sue. I don't know what kind of work you're doing for yourself and your own support in this time, because you, you know, to say goodbye to a marriage of many years, to the disruption in the family, what kind of support are you getting, Sue?
Oh, gosh. I have. I've been in therapy. I've been in Al-Anon for years.
Great.
So I have a great support system there.
Great.
And, I am definitely stronger today than
that's great.
I've been in the last couple of years. And it still hurts. I mean, I still grieve. And I don't know when that'll go away or if it'll go away. But I do communicate with him now, because I'm trying to get to a place of this agreeing on a settlement, you know. But it was quite a while that I had no communication with him, because I just couldn't. And I stayed away to see how he would respond. And it was all about, if you'll do this, I'll do that kind of thing.
It's tragic, you know, Sue, that his actions make that lack of communication necessary for you and for your daughters. And I will hold your ex-husband in prayer. He definitely needs it.
Yeah, absolutely. Sue, thank you for calling today. And, just praying that there can be some breakthrough in that situation and that you're wise in how to approach this with your kids, because they are such a formative age and really processing through the pain and the loss of that, and want to do that in a healthy way. So thanks again for calling. We're going to go to John next. John is calling us today from Oklahoma City. And so, John, welcome to New Life Live. How can we help you today?
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing great. Thanks for calling. How can we help?
Well, it's a complex story, so I'm going to try. I've been thinking this whole time trying how to dumb it down, because there's a lot of moving pieces to this. I was in a 25-year marriage that ended in 2021, and had four children. Three of them, the oldest three, are boys. They are adults, 25, 21, and 20, and then a daughter who is just turned 17. Ex-wife and I ran a very prominent business, online business, that had a huge Facebook following, which we did a lot of family videos. About a year and a half ago, the ex-wife decided to midlife crisis or what. Marriage was rocky. She decided to freeze me out of the business, as she was dating our company lawyer behind the scenes. I had no idea. But what makes it worse is that she had turned the tables. I didn't realize this whole time. In the background, she was destroying me to my children, saying things about me as she was preparing to make this move. And so she seized all of our business profits with the help of her company lawyer, which I wasn't able. I didn't have any resources to even help. And her father kind of joined in with her, because she had told him and the kids that I was having affairs with our employees. She told them that I had stolen all this money. She told them that I had child pornography and that I had guns, and sent the police to my house with a search warrant. All of that, of course, after having they seized my phone, my computer, lots of stuff. Well, after 3 months, they apologized. There was no findings, obviously. Having said that, the damage that was done, she actually went on Facebook and did a video with my children just bashing me. Lost a lot of Facebook friends, which I could care less, but, telling the world that this is who I was. And so, long story short, the three boys have denounced me, have nothing to do with me. My daughter was there for a while. About 9 months ago, praise the Lord, she saw through it, came to live with me and my new wife. We started a new ministry, a starting over ministry type thing, where she went through the same thing. However, I just want to know, and I'm sorry that took longer than I wanted, but
that's okay.
In your experience, how do you get your children, your adult boys, to reconcile with you? I mean, they have blocked me, so I can't communicate with them. They literally hate me, and I had a great relationship. In fact, if anything, I was a better father than a husband probably for 25 years. We had a great relationship until the last few years, and
John,
now they want nothing to do with me.
How long ago did they block you?
About a year ago.
Was it when you were divorced or when you got remarried?
When I was going through the divorce.
And what was the time between one and the other? Between the divorce and between the remarriage?
Got remarried February 2022. The divorce was finalized January 2021.
Okay.
They had actually started really, really dogging me. What had happened was, so when she filed for divorce, I begged her to come back, begged and begged and begged and begged, and she was feeding off of that. I was texting her and calling her, and when I finally realized, when I caught her with another man and realized what she was doing, I had sent her a text and said, I now know what's going on. I'm not chasing you anymore. You're free to go. I release you to God. I've accepted this. I'm going to move on. It was that moment that she flipped the switch and started bashing me and started turning my kids against me.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of layers to this, John. I want to if you could stay on the line just briefly, we'll come back after this break, and I want to let Alice and Becky just kind of weigh in on maybe some helpful next steps for you. And I wanted to say too, just because I didn't get a chance earlier, John, I'm sorry you're going through this. This is a really painful thing that's involving your kids and your ex-wife. And so, yeah, stay with us. We'll be right back here in a second.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks again for joining us today on New Life Live. Zach Matchett filling in for Steve Arterburn today. I've got Dr. Alice Benton and Becky Brown with me. I wanted to share with you just briefly about our Emotional Freedom Online Workshop. It is this Saturday, and we would love for you to take part in that. If you attend, you're going to receive a copy of the book Creatures of Habit by Pastor Steve Poe, the pastor at Northview Church in Indiana, where I currently serve on staff. And so excited that Steve, I'm a proud plug for Steve's book today, because I just really believe in him and love him. And so it's a wonderful book. It'll be a great resource to you. Again, if you want to take advantage of that Emotional Freedom Online Workshop, you can go to newlife.com and get more information. So we've got John on the line. I wanted to, Alice, let's go to you first. Again, just some brief debrief here. So John, in a situation, there's a divorce. He is now remarried. The wife seems to be kind of undermining him and what happened and some lies and some accusations. But the kids now seem to be now at odds with him. And it's very, very complex. But Alice, what would you say maybe are some practical next steps to take here?
John, I believe you that your wife was just spewing lies about you, continues to do so, and that deeply impacted relationship with your sons. And I want to caution you with a couple of things. First, as you well know, as Christians, we all know we will suffer, and sometimes we suffer even more because of doing what is right and what is good. And that's so difficult to grasp and to hold on to hope when we suffer for having done well as a parent and done well as a spouse. We are promised that we will be blessed as we hold to what is good. And so one particular good that I want you to focus on, John, is that it's easy to start to look at your ex-wife as all bad and to think of yourself as the good guy who was harmed and done wrong, which is true. But we also have to be willing to hold to, there have been good things about the mother of your children. And I want you to call those to mind and speak them to your daughter, if and when you get the chance, to your sons. And be aware, John, of your own true imperfections and shortcomings, particularly anything that might have been detrimental to your first marriage. And be willing to share those with your daughter and, when you can, with your sons. Have that prepared for when you get a chance to talk with them again.
Yeah, well said. Becky, what would you add in there?
So, John, this is going to take longer than you ever wanted it to take. Mm-hmm. And it's probably already taken longer than you wanted it to take.
Yeah.
I want you, we're going to send you a copy of Healing is a Choice. It's Steve's own journey of how to recover from, you know, divorce and the unfaithfulness of his former wife. But here's the thing. We get into these kind of, we want rapid resolution. And here's the other part of this. Your kids are entitled to their own feelings. And, you know, as much as they may be, you know, mad at you, angry with you, they're probably somewhere mad at their mom, too. But they're caught up in this kind of struggle. And your work is to do the healing work that you need in order for you to be ready when they're ready to come back.
Right.
Because if you don't resolve this now, John, guess what? When they come back, you're going to go back to square one. Your mom did this, your mom did that, 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 that. All that kind of stuff is just going to poison the relationship. And this is where you're going to need a group of men who are going to speak into your life, who are going to help carry this burden. And as far as your new marriage is concerned, you're going to need a lot of help in this regard as well, because there's not been enough healing time. And for you guys to get on a new path in a new marriage, I would encourage you also, you know, on down the line, maybe to get into some marriage counseling, maybe join us at an intimacy and marriage workshop so that this doesn't happen again. You know, I mean, I know that's kind of a risk, but I'm just saying it's a lot to carry right now.
When we can be braced and prepared to that the divorce hurt the kids and you were part of the divorce, even if it wasn't your fault, the majority of it certainly wasn't, but your divorce hurt your children. And I'm sorry to say, your remarriage so very likely hurt your children. It was quick. A year or so, that's pretty quick for kids. It was quick. And so be ready to take responsibility that your action in those two situations, even if your responsibility and your fault is very small, that probably hurt your children. And when we can bring that to our kids and invite their feelings and their thoughts about it, it brings about healing.
Yeah. I was going to say, too, it's two new people because you have the new person mm-hmm. in the wife or the mom's life, and then you also have, John getting remarried as well. And that just, again, it's just nothing that you, it's not like it's you can't overcome it or you can't find your way through it. It's just another complication to the whole situation of how to move forward, because now you have two other people involved in this particular unfolding of events. And so, John, I think what Becky shared, just those resources, the book and some other things, the intimacy of marriage and other things, man, please take advantage mm-hmm. of that. If you want help with any of that, please give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
And in recovery, you guys know this, that when we have to make amends, we have to do our own work. It's our side of the street.
That's right.
And when we have been so offended, so hurt, so taken advantage of, it is so easy to do somebody else's work. We can list all the things that they need to work on. But the healing comes from taking ownership and moving forward and making amends. And I hope that will help, John.
Yeah. I remember, I think Pastor Tim Keller shared one time, I heard him say, if somebody's criticizing you or somebody's throwing in accusations, whatever, and he says, if 95% of the accusations or critiques are completely unfounded, here's your response. Own the 5%.
That's right.
Yeah, own the 5%, and to some degree, treat it as if it's maybe greater than 5%. Mm-hmm. Not exaggerated, but just because I just think repentance is our best witness, both for not just our Christian walk, but also just to find our own healing and recovery, because to what you just said, rarely are we completely and utterly innocent. There are always things that we can go, you know what? No, I own that. I should have done that better. I acknowledge that. I'm doing the work and putting that in. It's just very easy, frankly, to repent second, punt it off to the other person we think is worse, and that just keeps us in the same thing. And so hopefully that tailspin doesn't happen to John. Hang on the line. We'll get to your calls here in a second. We'll be right back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks again for joining us here on New Life Live. I'm Zach Matchett, filling in for Steve Arterburn. Dr. Alice Benton and Becky Brown are with me. And thanks again for calling in today. We just got finished with John. John was sharing just about a really challenging divorce situation, and just another reminder, and this isn't at John's expense, this is just in general for all of us, sin does not happen in a vacuum. It affects people, it affects other people's lives, and there's other emotions tied into it, and it's just rarely mutually exclusive in all these different and distinct in all these different areas. There's a lot of comprehensiveness to it. And so, again, if you're finding yourself in a situation where whether it's been self-inflicted, you've made the wrong choices, somebody's done the wrong to you, whatever it is, it's not only going to affect you or the other person. There's other people involved in these things, and that's why we need to make sure that we understand that and do what we can to own our part in the recovery as we move forward. And so I am going to hand it over, if Larry, if you're ready,
I'm ready.
To join in. Yeah,
Larry's
what do you got
always
for us today?
Ready. What well, he's always
no,
on
I
the
I just
ball.
Ran out and ran back in.
I was
ready.
Looking at my notes, and then I walked up, and there you are, Larry. So I'm sorry that I did that. But yeah, please share with what you got with us today.
Well, Saturday, Emotional Freedom Workshop. You can sign up for this workshop until 7 p.m. Central Time. So I know last-minute sign-ups are a big deal because everybody procrastinates. And that's one of the things that we might...
No. Do they do that, Larry? People procrastinate?
I know you're the only one.
No.
But that'll be discussed, too, probably in the workshop somewhere along the way. I wanted to read what somebody wrote that attended this recently. She said, I realized I have been holding on to more hurt than I have been telling myself. I didn't know the proper word for it all, but it's unresolved emotion. I was taking past anger and reacting to those who are close to me. I was nervous about the groups, but that was the best part of the weekend. Those women poured so much into me, and it was beyond fulfilling. Now, this workshop this weekend is just one day, Saturday. Do it from your home. Do it from your living room, your kitchen, your bedroom, wherever you want to sit with a computer or laptop. And you will find that it can be something that will change your life. And we just love to see how the Holy Spirit moves and works, and it's always in ways you least expect it.
And Larry, as she points out, we all have mess. And if we don't deal with the mess, it's most likely going to leak out onto the people we love the most, our spouse and our children. So don't wait, folks. It'll be better for your whole family if you come and do the work. We'll help you.
Yeah, I know there was a time in my life that I was amazed that certain people that didn't seem to get angry and react strongly, probably because I grew up with a dad that I always blamed his high blood pressure, that would blow up and get mad and angry and yell and scream, and that was normal for me, and that doesn't have to be normal.
Yeah.
And if you're the person doing that, or if you're around somebody who's doing that, and you have to live with it. Whatever it is, come to this workshop. It'll be special for you.
That's great, Larry. Yeah, and again, just know that when you are even contributing to New Life and the ministry that goes on here, you're making it possible for people to have resources like that and to have the outlet to find that right opportunity for them to grow. And so that's powerful stuff. You're right. It just, man, when somebody experiences that peace of like, finally, I've got it off my chest. People have heard me. I'm on my way to doing the next right thing, whatever the case may be. It's easy to cheer people on when you see that happening.
Yeah,
so, man, take part in that if that's a resource that you want to take advantage of. Again, 7 o'clock Central Time is your cutoff. And so, if you are, you know, that T-shirt says "Procrastinators, we unite tomorrow." You know, like just you can't do that today. You got to make sure you sign up by 7 o'clock.
No,
thanks, Larry.
Okay. Thank you, everybody who donates or will donate to New Life. We always have a spirit of gratitude here, and I just want to express that really profoundly to you. So thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Larry. Let's get to our next call here. We're going to go to Justin. Justin is listening to us on the New Life app in Georgia. And so, Justin, thanks for your patience. Welcome to New Life Live. How can we help you today?
Hey, thanks. Good morning. Good afternoon. Yeah, so just quickly, quickly about myself. I have childhood trauma. Sexual addiction. I was promiscuous before marriage. I brought all those women into my marital bed and acted them out, if you will, with my wife. I was so once I got married, while I didn't sleep with another woman, I was unfaithful through pornography. And this month, actually, I'm 5 years clean.
Great. Justin.
Congratulations, Justin.
Yeah, thanks. But, you know, it's like every time I turn around the corner in my recovery, I get a new layer, right? And one thing I've realized, my question is really two parts. One is, I realize, and this is somewhat of a self-diagnosis, but obviously I'm smart enough to read, but I recognize traits of borderline and also covert narcissism in myself, which, you know, is tied with codependency and a lot of shame that I have. My question is, you know, I find myself objectifying women, and that objectification is tied to a new term I learned called intrigue addiction. But it's just like it's acute to this particular like phenomenon, this behavior in myself. It's acute to women in my trigger group, if you will, the landmines I've created in my life when I acted out sexually and also through the viewing of my porn. And it's, my wife knows the trigger group, so she's pointed out to me when I've looked, and I would be like, no, I didn't look. So there's an element of subconsciousness of the objectifying that I'm doing, and it's a behavior I don't want, because I do recognize that as lust. And then my second part is, you know, with my trauma, and just while I'm a dry drunk, so to speak, and I've been clean from porn, I know that I still have issues. And what treatment modality should I really pursue for healing? Because, you know, there's like EMDR, cognitive, there's internal family systems. Like, which one do I need to kind of pursue? So I know I said a lot, but, you know, the two questions are the objectification and the treatment modality.
And tell us, Justin, what's the kind of recovery work you've been doing recently with these great 5 years of sobriety?
So I do go to Celebrate Recovery, and I did attend EMB during COVID, the virtual option, and I am part of a weekly sustained victory call.
Right.
That happens one hour a week.
Well, I think you're a very good listener to the radio show, because you took a bunch of the words right out of my mouth. And, you know, we often recommend all three of the forms of therapy that you brought up. And I'll speak to it briefly. EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, helps us get to some subconscious beliefs and emotionally charged memories that are tough to get to in talk therapy alone. And so I always recommend EMDR. It would be good for anybody. It would be particularly good because of the trauma you've been through and all the ways you've cemented some unhealthy patterns into your brain through the participation in the habits and the addictive behavior. And the internal family systems that you talked about, for those that don't know, part of what happens is it helps us to access inner children. And really, it's just split parts of ourselves that we're so wounded, they stay stuck in spiritual and emotional immaturity. They need to be accessed for both that emotional and spiritual healing. And so it's tending to those younger parts of ourselves that haven't fully grown up yet along with us. So in a way, it doesn't matter which one you start with. Any of them would be beneficial for you. I'm a particular fan of EMDR and internal family systems myself. They're so effective, and they're effective very quickly. And so pursue one. Choose one, pursue it, and once you've done enough work there, switch to another one and keep at the work.
That's great. That's great. Becky, what would you add?
One of the things that you said, Justin, that you have been 5 years clean, and one of the distinctions that we talk about in healing is that there's a difference between clean and sober, and that's where you're referencing a dry drunk. And the problems that you're still having are rooted in the trauma, whether it is the trauma from the sexual addiction itself or your childhood trauma. And I didn't hear you say that you are in counseling. And I think if that's not part of your process, that definitely has to be part of it. Because not only counseling with a therapist that can do the trauma treatment, but I also would encourage you and your wife to be with a counselor as well. Because healing occurs in relationships. And you've been very open and honest with her, but she's also carrying some of this. This has traumatized her. And so if that's not part of your process, let's move into that pathway and see if that doesn't help you move forward. And one last thing, sometimes we can read a lot, and whether you have borderline personality disorder or narcissism or whatever, it might be a side issue, but you would be able to clarify that with a therapist. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and even just asking those right questions with therapists, asking like, well, tell me about this, or what kind of experiences maybe contributed to that? And you can't really get to the bottom of that if you're not being prompted to articulate what it is that may be the reason for all of these particular situations. And Justin, I want to make sure I affirm you too. Like, thanks again for your honesty and your transparency here on the call. I know it did not feel like you're just airing out dirty laundry. Thanks for the work that you've done up to this point. But I want to make sure that we get you and your wife pointing in the right direction. So stay with us. We'll get to one more call when we get back. We'll be right back.
The find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks again for hanging out with us today on New Life Live. So appreciative of wherever you're listening to us from today. Zach Matcha here filling in for Steve Arterburn. Dr. Alice Benton and Becky Brown are with me. And we are going to go to our next call here. Tammy has been very patient. Thank you, Tammy, for hanging out with us today. She is calling from South Carolina. Tammy, welcome to New Life Live. How can we help you today?
Hi, and thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I have a dilemma. The question is, how do I reconnect with a very, very close relative whom I've had a long history of a friendship, and it has just been tainted seemingly by a decision that I made that I thought was a good decision, that apparently she was not necessarily on board for. I thought I was doing the right thing, actually.
Can you get more specific with us? How close is this relative, and what was the action you took?
Yeah.
So the relative is a niece. The actions that I took was I had a doll that had been given to her daughter, who is now an adult doll. It's a doll that everybody, all the children, love. So I passed the doll down to her daughter, who's an adult, called her daughter because now I have a new niece who wants the doll, and the mom doesn't want to pay for it. Called the niece who owns the daughter who I had given it to, and she said, yes, you can have the doll. I didn't ask the mother. I didn't think I had to ask the mother who's my niece. And so when I called her next day and told her we were all excited that this was going to be an heirloom doll that was passed down generation to generation, she came up with a million and one reasons not to give the doll away. Well, eventually I told my niece, because I thought that was the right thing to do. I told my niece, whom I had promised, yes, she could have the doll. So I called back my niece, who didn't want to give up the doll. And I said, well, listen, you know, we've had this conversation. When can you send the doll? She sent the doll immediately, but it was if she didn't really want to do it, and she's not on good terms at this point. But it wasn't her doll. It was her daughter's doll. And her daughter was totally fine with it.
Yeah, there's got to be a lot of attachment to whatever that doll represents. You know, at this point, it's not the doll. Not about the doll anymore.
Yes.
And so, Alice, what would you say?
I agree.
Tammy, I would go for as much humility and confession as you can. And it may be something like, to your niece, I can see how my decisions, how I handled the doll, it probably felt like I valued the doll more than your opinion and more than my relationship with you. I deeply hurt you by the way I handled this, and I want to hear how it affected you. And notice, Tammy, I'm not saying I was wrong in getting the doll back. I don't even know that we need to go there, but that what I did hurt you. My actions hurt you, and I want to hear about that hurt. It's so easy to get caught up in the defensiveness and the justification, some of which is reasonable. It wasn't even your doll. I asked the right person for permission. But if we go that direction, we build up more of a barricade between us and the person we hurt by our actions. So go humble and try to invite her feelings, and do not defend or justify or explain why you did what you did. Just acknowledge that you hurt her.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Has there been any previous tension in this relationship before this, or was this like a newfound, like just kind of out of left field experience?
Out of left field. I've had over 30-year relationship. Nothing.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Then I would also guess, Tammy, and hold the potential that she's enacting some kind of a hurt with you that probably belongs to someone else. But maybe you're safe enough that the anger that belongs to somebody else that betrayed her, that did her wrong, it's coming out at you. And you can help heal the hurt that other person perpetrated against her by humbling more than seems right, than seems justified in this situation.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, she's going through a divorce, and it's bitter.
Oh, yeah. That's a new reveal, too. Like, I mean, that definitely would contribute to things in this situation. Becky, what would you jump in with here, and just in terms of giving Tammy some next steps that, in addition to what Alice said?
Well, Tammy, if you haven't already reached out to her, whether it be in a phone call or a note card, That's what I would say your next step is. And I would agree with Alice that it's not about the doll, but I would just say, how can we fix this? I've enjoyed our relationship all these years. I love you. And I don't want anything to come between us. How can we fix this? How can I fix this? And just leave it open to her. But also, if she is going through a divorce, guess what? This is something else that she probably had no control over. And so it's hidden on the nerve of, I don't have any control in my life, which is actually true. We all have to kind of process where we have control, where we don't have control. But if you can lean in a little bit with some sympathy and just get the conversation going, I think that is the best next step.
Yeah, and I remember Tammy, you said too, I think your phrase was, you know, she kind of gave a million and one reasons as to why, you know, you can't have the doll. I mean, in light of what you just shared with us about the divorce, like, can you see some connection maybe between those two things that may be revealing that?
In some ways, with regards to her personal life, she's not necessarily forthcoming, so I don't know, but this is my speculation.
Yeah. No, it's interesting when we attach such significant meaning to material things, it often reveals the greater emotion, the greater need to keep those things, mm-hmm. the need to have those things visible, because it represents something much deeper than what it actually is. And that's probably why, you know, it's like that old saying, if the reaction is greater than the situation at hand, usually that means something else is mm-hmm. going on. And so I agree with these ladies. Yeah, just the idea of just kind of approaching like, hey, I want to make this relationship right. And I own whatever I did, you know, to kind of hurt you. And let's talk. I mean, do you think there's openness there? Or is this like a hard, like, no way, Jose, that she's not going to talk about it?
I think she will talk about it. I think that she will if I approach her in the proper way. But now that you asked that question, I'm going to say, thinking clearly and more intensely about this, I'm thinking now that the kids no longer have their dad, maybe she feels like this is another thing that her daughter won't have, that she was very connected to.
Wow.
But as I said, the daughter freely, she's 19, and she says, sure, she can have it. So it was not an issue with the daughter at all.
Well, and it may be, Tammy, that it may be that the three of you have to talk about it together.
Mm-hmm.
The daughter, and the mom, and just say, hey, let's get this figured out and move forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah,
that could bring some healing and some wholeness to their dynamic and their relationship through this situation of the divorce. Sorry, Tammy, I cut you off. What were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say, and lastly, the reason that she gave as to why she didn't want to release it, none of it made sense. Like, she says, you asked us not to cut the baby's hair. Well, they're going to cut the baby's hair. Why are you making that assumption that they're going to cut the baby's hair? Then the other thing was, well, the 11-year-old, which is her second daughter, well, I thought we would keep it for her. But the fact of the matter is, at 11 years old, they're not playing with dolls like that. They start playing with those dolls at 5. So it didn't make any sense.
And Tammy, it's so good that you're bringing all those explanations to us rather than to your niece, because whenever we apologize and we give a yeah, but, it negates the whole apology. So bring all the explanations to other safe people and bring the pure apology to your niece.
When you approach these conversations in humility and just understanding, like, look, I know this unearthed some things in you. I know this brought up pain or associated things that it was hard to deal with. Just by simply acknowledging those things, I think it at least provides some fertile ground for hopefully a fruitful conversation to happen. So that's what we're praying for. Tammy, thanks for calling. Alice, Becky, thanks for hanging out today. Thanks for joining us on New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live.
To Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.